Son, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm dead. Sorry for dying, but all the information you'll need for life is right here on this show. My friends Sean and Scott are here, and we're going to talk about everything from girls, history, money, power tools. We'll even talk about how to check your testicles for lumps. You'll be fine. It'll be just like having a dad. Just pretend that I went out for smokes. Hello, everyone. It's another episode of Out for Smokes. I'm your host, Mike Racine. I'm here with Sean McCarthy and Scott Chaplin. This is the show for my son. In case I'm dead, maybe I had a heart attack, maybe I died in a mass shooting. Who knows? All I know, though, Benjamin, if you're listening to the show, you started daycare today. Today was your first day of daycare. And he went for 2 hours, and it was very good. It was tough on the way there. You know, you go through a lot of emotions. Dropping your kid off at daycare, but then
checking the exits, you know, everything you have to do now in the United States.
Yeah, which I don't know what would, I don't know how. I'm hoping that, I don't know, I should maybe talk to the director about
like
it.
Like asking the teacher to feel her muscles, asking her to flex, feel her arm muscles.
Yeah. Can you squat?
All right, he's going to stay with you.
Yeah, yeah, like what's the typical police response time near this daycare? Is it under 78 minutes or?
Yeah, the length of Toy Story 1. It's the entire literally, Toy Story 1. Yeah,
literally.
Very literally.
The cops at Uvalde were like, we've got to finish this episode of Mad Men, okay? It left us on a cliffhanger.
I know you're joking, but there was a thing of one of the Uvalde cops. He was like, he had his cell phone set up on a tripod. And he was like scrolling through Instagram while he was like, watching
Christ.
The school. I saw some video clip of that. Yeah. But anyway, but before we get into that, I just want to say like, you know, I hadn't felt this way in a while where it's like you have to do something that somebody that you love is not going to like, you know? And I started thinking, and I was thinking, do you remember a few years ago there was a guy who joined ISIS and ISIS made him, like, kill his mother?
I don't remember that, no.
So I think it was, like, a guy in Syria or something, and ISIS made him, like, chop his mother's head off. And it's like, I kind of drew some inspiration from that guy because I'm thinking like I have to put my son in this position where he's going to do something that he doesn't like, but I'm going to have to like bite the bullet and I'm going to have to, and I probably, this is probably how that guy who joined ISIS felt when he had to chop his mother's head off. You know,
yeah, there's a certain amount of betrayal.
You're
you
like,
feel
you feel guilty
when you have
to
kill your mom. Yeah,
or take your kid to daycare.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I was just like, I just need to be strong like the guy who chopped his mother's head off.
That'd be ISIS making a guy kill his mom. That'd be a good premise for a Neil Patrick Harris sitcom.
Yeah.
How I murdered
How
your
I killed
mother.
My mother. How I beheaded my mother. But yeah, so that was good. So he cried a little bit, and then I went to the gym. And
did
I, you know,
he,
felt,
he cried the entire. I mean, as you were leaving, he was still crying.
As I was leaving, he was still crying. I mean, obviously, it's his first day.
Oh, of course, no, I'm not.
You know, he's never like, he's never been away from us at all. So,
wow.
But it's good. But I do want to thank the guy who joined ISIS and killed his mother, because I was like, because you have to just, because I'm sure there's the conflict of like, I love my mother, but I also love being in ISIS.
I want to be a part of a crew.
Yeah, I love being a part. I have friends now.
Right. Leave a flag, you know? Around.
I have a Toyota truck with a machine gun on the back of it. So it's like, I'm sure there were moments where he was like, I don't know if I can do this, but you have to just, it's a good life lesson. Sometimes you have to just commit to a decision and do something that's hard.
So you kill your mom, and then ISIS protects you from the ramifications of killing your mother?
What ramifications? Yeah.
Being arrested, you know, because ISIS isn't the police. And so you kill your mom. And then they go like, hurry, get in the van. Come now you're with the Oslo party.
I don't know what those animals are doing. And you know what? That's why I'm happy to live in the US of A, baby. I have no idea. Yeah, I don't know if there's any kind of...
Didn't that guy back out of the NRA? He was supposed to perform at it. And he was like, I don't think it's the right time.
Really?
Yeah, the proud to be American guy.
was the American Pie guy, wasn't it?
Oh, it was American Pie? I thought he stayed. Oh. I thought he was staying. And the other guy backed out. Don McLean, American Pie?
Yeah, I thought he dropped out of the NRA.
Oh, he did drop out. Yeah. I heard he plays that song first at his concerts and then goes, you can leave if you want.
Really?
And then most people leave.
Really?
Yeah. American Pie? Asshole, yeah, we'll get early dinner now.
Really?
Yeah. Because he only has that song and then a song about like a Vincent Van Gogh painting or something.
Uh-huh. See you later,
Starry
pigs.
Starry Night, right?
They're like, we paid $74 for these tickets. Yeah, well, good. Good. You can leave if you want. Get
Did
the fuck
you
out.
Write the book of love? And it's like 2 more minutes till we have to leave. That's an 8-minute song, right? So.
Well, your audience is mostly boomers, so it's like their Viagra's wearing off,
exactly.
So they probably
want
to go.
You just want one song.
Hear
anyway.
One song and then go fuck your wife.
Boomer alcoholics, so they're like tremoring a little bit. My dad couldn't do anything because he would start tremoring at one point. It was very, if the sun was going down, he needed the drink in him.
I remember when I worked at Ruby Tuesday, this like older couple came in and I was like, oh, I was like chatting with them and they were like, yeah, once a year we come into the city and we see a show and we go out to lunch. I'm like, okay, you come to the city once a year and you're eating at Ruby Tuesday. And then I'm like, where are you guys from? And they go, Linden. They're from Linden, New Jersey.
Right.
It's
there.
Like 40 minutes away.
Yeah. It's a lot to plan things, man. I think it overwhelms a lot of people.
Yeah. But that's funny. If you're like, once a year we watch Don McLean sing one song and then... And my husband, eats me out.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett fans, they all they go every year, right? It's like a typical crew. It's kind of like swingers. It's like people who don't know how to meet people at bars and fuck.
Yeah.
So they go to Jimmy Buffett concerts and just imagine each other. They're like not confident enough to be swingers. It's like older people who aren't confident enough to be swingers. So they just dance with each other at Jimmy Buffett concerts, and then they masturbate to it at home later.
That's pretty cool.
That's what I think. Yeah. I might go to a Jimmy Buffett concert this summer.
This is Frontline with Scott Chaplin.
We're live at the Jimmy Buffett concert.
Yeah. Well, cool. So today's episode is all about active shooters. What are they? How do you survive? What do you do if you're in a situation? Do you run? Do you fight? Do you hide? I did a little bit of research on this. Look, baby's crying now that his mother's home. He was fine hanging out with the boys watching Chinese YouTube shows.
Yeah, he was chilling. He was watching a pineapple smile back and forth.
Yeah. But, no, I think it's important to, like, well, it's a thing where, as Americans, it's something I guess we got to think about now. I feel like we go through phases where there's a bunch of mass shootings, and then it calms down a little bit. But you do have to be ready for them, I think.
Yeah.
You know? There's not any, like, legislation coming to stop it. It's very much like the government has basically sent us the message that it might happen, we might get killed. So I guess we got to think about a survival method. So off the dome, do you guys have anything that,
Well, they tell you, like, if you read these, how to deal with an active shooter thing. Like, Sean sent us a how to deal with an active shooter. Like, there's an actual...
Yeah.
The government tells you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the same rules as laser tag. It's like very,
Yeah.
It's like hide where you can, try to not make noise.
If you get
hit twice, you're out.
I found this Department of Homeland Security pamphlet on how to deal with an active shooter, but I'm suing because my picture's on it.
They're like, you might see.
Learn the haircut and BMI. Typical of an active shooter.
Notice the chin.
Or lack thereof.
Not that we should talk.
Yeah.
Sean's probably the best looking person on the podcast.
No, I think it's Scott.
No, again,
Mike.
Angles.
If if Mike lost a little weight, you'd be back.
If
there.
I lost
how
a little
cool
weight,
is it that
yeah.
that'll never happen? There's like it's even like it's 8 pounds. It's not even that much, but never.
I broke my arm.
Okay, so what? You got to gain weight.
Well, I can't
lifting.
I
think it's
lift.
A matter of eating, though. You know, that's your weight.
It is eating, but if you don't go to the gym,
I think I'm thin, and you're thin enough.
Yeah,
I could knock off
10 or 12
pounds.
Based on like
stomach problems, right?
Like stomach cancer or something.
Yeah, there's gonna be. It's like you shouldn't have eaten what you were eating most of your life.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
No, but it made things so much easier.
Yeah.
In the moment.
I always tell myself I'm gonna go vegan eventually.
Oh yeah, man!
At some point in my life.
These bullshit ideas. Yeah.
Steve Harvey's a vegan.
Hmm.
No, he doesn't look like a vegan, though.
He is, though. I think he was talking about it on his show.
Yeah, Scott. Black people besides Ethiopians can be vegans.
That sounds like a he don't eat the pussy bit he has that you took seriously. No, he said he's vegan.
It is kind of like the good news about the United States about dying as
he winks every time he says, I'm vegan. That means he doesn't eat pussy.
The good thing about dying in an active shooting situation in the United States is you don't get killed by all the fucking microplastics in your food or the 5G radiation.
Well, I was thinking about this. It's not bad if you're the first person, if you're the first or second person to die in a mass shooting, it's not that bad.
Right.
That's kind of the spot that you want. It's like going third on a comedy show.
Literally taking the bullet.
Taking the bullet, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
You're just in your office and you're just like, oh, what am I going to, you're browsing Grubhub. Hub or whatever, you're looking for a different job, and then you just like boom, boom, boom. It's like, and
you're
it's like,
done. And I'm done. Fine. If that's I'm what fine. Happens, yes.
I imagine when you get shot with an AR-15, it's pretty quick, I think. Yeah. Right?
Probably bleed out pretty quick. I was always thinking, like,
because they're designed to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be so fucking mad if I got, like.
What if that was their defense? They're like, no, the other guns, it would take longer. Yeah. Like, he's going to kill him anyway because it's going to take us the length of Toy Story. So if he had a weaker gun, it would have been more painful.
Yeah.
And that's their defense of keeping them.
I think they are designed to, because there's mass shootings where
they're designed to, massacre.
They're designed to make you, bleed to death.
Yeah, I mean, to,
they're supposed to rip through your
body.
Yeah,
cheese. They're trying to, Swiss cheese you.
It's a very controversial testing stunt where they make sure their bullets are the most effective on toddlers.
Yeah.
You know, you need the stopping power when a 4-year-old's coming at you.
Exactly.
That's so fucking.
Yeah. But anyways,
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what is. Yeah, sorry. We're doing a comedy podcast on active shooters.
No, I'm just saying. It's like the reality that we live in is very, it's very dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other countries aren't. They're not podcasting right now. They're enjoying their lives.
Were you guys nervous when. Okay, so Columbine, as a kid, were you nervous? Yeah. Do you remember being scared?
A little bit, yeah. I didn't really understand it at the time. I was too young. But, we'll talk about that. Yeah. That kind of changed
everything.
I guess
I never thought it could happen to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I live in New Jersey.
I'm the main
where
character.
Where people treat each other right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I was thinking, how fucking mad would you be if you got, active shooter killed on a Friday? Mm-hmm. If it was a Monday, I actually probably wouldn't even mind that much.
Yeah.
You got the whole fucking week gone.
Garfield mentality.
Dude, I want it to be, after an argument with my wife.
So she feels bad.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I guess I'm never doing stand up again. I guess I'll just, and then I'm dead.
I think about that sometimes. I leave the house and my wife doesn't say I love you. And I'm okay, I got shot. Now you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. My wife doesn't always say goodnight because she's putting the baby to bed.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool if someone just home invaded me and just shot me in the head with a fucking AR-15. Just me. Yeah.
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 And you got to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like Mike was saying, I read this Department of Homeland Security pamphlet, Active Shooter, How to Respond, but not on the pamphlet for how to avoid an active shooter is move to any country except the United States.
Yeah.
It's mostly just an American thing we got to deal with here.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to move Ben to a different country, right? He'll probably grow up in the U.S.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So he'll probably have to deal with this shit.
The only thing, too, because, I've only been to, two other countries, maybe three other countries, but, I have a cousin in Italy, my cousin Daniele, and he's, probably 6'5", really good-looking guy, and he works at, an auto parts store. There's just no – it doesn't seem like – I don't even think he, has toilet paper in his – I'm just kidding. But
it's he has no thought to pursue entertainment at all. Yeah, it's strange. Yeah, yeah. He's a good-looking guy, and he's not trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah. No, but he just lives in Italy and, does yoga, plays basketball.
Cool.
It's cool. No, I think he's probably got a girlfriend. But it's a cool life, but it doesn't seem like you can really reach the top. I mean, because here, us doing this podcast, we're so close.
Yeah.
To the top.
We're so close to something really fucking big happening.
It's that meme of the guy digging and then,
right before he
gives up, there's diamonds there.
Yeah.
So you don't give up.
And then the one on top is Tim Dillon just choking on a diamond. just full of diamonds that are coming out of
million
his,
dollars a year, you motherfucker.
Coming out of his ass, yeah. it's just Tim Dillon getting Me Too'd and giving diamonds to a bunch of twinks that he's sexually harassed. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not. We're
you
not,
know, if
that's
he comes
a joke.
On, if he comes on this podcast, I'll never have a bad word to say about him.
Yeah, of course. I did reach out to him. I think I better check my email to see if he's said yes.
Oh, it must have gone to my spam folder. You know.
It must have gone right to spam folder. But yeah, where were we?
Oh, you know what
country.
I was going
to... Yeah, move to a different country. Yeah. Well, it is weird because there was a guy, there was like a common thread on TikTok and somebody was like, actually, Albania, Sweden, Norway, all those countries have higher rates per capita. They have higher deaths per capita of mass shootings.
Sweden?
Yeah, yeah. He listed like a bunch of white devil countries.
Is that like a guy just making up a list or is this true? I don't think that's true.
I really don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true. But that mass shooting in Norway, that was pretty... The guy in... Remember he blew up the thing? This was like 2011. He killed like 80 people.
Anders Breivik,
Breivik, yeah.
Do they count like cartel murders? I mean, they have to count those things, no? Or no? As like shootings? Like wouldn't Brazil be up there in terms of gun violence just because of all the cartel murder?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like a mass shooting.
All the United States created poverty.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a mass shooting, you know, like gang violence or any situation where multiple people are shot or shot at. And the United States averages like one of those every day. But there's a difference between that and the kind of active shooter situation we're talking about, which is like, it's not like a gang violence thing. It's like just some nut going into a public place and indiscriminately murdering people.
Right. Sometimes a mass shooting is just a guy looked at another guy's bitch funny and they have to go.
In a parking lot.
Yeah.
And now some people have been mass shot because of it.
Right. Because I think with this episode, we should focus on the kind that are done by white people.
Right.
Yes, you know? I agree.
Yeah.
The most worst kind.
No offense, but a little bit better aim, more intentional, and more random victims.
Yeah, it doesn't work when you hold the AR-15 sideways.
Yeah.
That's a thing. That started in movies, obviously, right? It was movies first, and then people copied movies.
I don't think people should.
The gun
should.
To the side, that's movies. That's what I'm saying, not shooting.
What's wrong with holding a gun to the side, too?
No, there's no good aim. I don't think you can aim properly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It looks cool, though.
Oh, it looks awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like having a tiny, like, Peter Pan knife, you know?
Yeah.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you guys, like, so I have my theories on, like, some of these, like, shootings being, you know, possible Gladio or Black Ops or whatever.
Yeah, we know.
We can get into it later, but... You know, what kind of convinces me of some of that is, like, how the fuck has there never been a shooting at a comedy open mic or, like, a comedy show? Like, to the best of your knowledge, has there ever been one of these?
That's a good question. I think, I don't know, do you have any ideas? I'll tell you what.
You want to say cowardice, but then it would be saying that doing it is not. It's
like brave, yeah.
Is brave, which is, you know.
Yeah.
See, but I kind of feel like at an open mic, everybody is like sort of equal. I'll tell you a story. There was an open mic at an improv theater that I don't know if they exist anymore, but I didn't get on three weeks in a row. They would like select people. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this has to be intentional why I'm not like getting on.
Yeah.
And I went and I bought an apple and I threw it at the door and a lamp broke like above the door. And I ran away. It's just like 11 years ago. And since then, I think I've cleaned up my act a lot. I don't promote misogyny and bigotry, but that might have been why. I don't know this, but this, I don't know. But anyway,
was that the pit? Open mic?
It was the pit open mic. Yeah.
It was like there was a guy like on his way with an AR-15 and he gets there and it's closed.
Or he thought.
No, Jay Welsh is like, the list is already full. The list is already full.
Sorry, maybe we'll try again next week. The guy's like, okay.
He's like, what the fuck?
All right, fine. Very inside, some inside baseball here, but that's all right. That one was for us. You know, Artie Lang showed up at that mic, and he said he couldn't go on.
Yeah, Jay Welsh said the list was full.
Yeah.
Come back next week.
Sorry, you could try again next week. Sorry, who are you again? Oh.
Yeah.
You're in Welsh's house, bitch.
Just like a guy with, like, full military gear, loadout, AR-15, who's, like, live streaming it on Twitch, and he's like, so I've just been told that the list is full. I'm going to have to come back next week.
I guess the thing about an open mic, though, is like everybody is kind of equal at an open mic. Like yeah. You're all attending. Everyone's attending a comedy open mic, so nobody feels ostracized.
Well,
there's
also the equalness of everybody actually kind of thinks they're the shit, and everybody thinks there's the potential of being great. And I think when you have that hope, you don't do a thing like that, right?
Yeah, I think.
It's the delusion of I can become successful, and so things like that are too harsh.
Right.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Boom, got him. All right. Hell yeah. Yeah, I noticed with the active shooter thing, it was very much – I loved how much they mentioned, you know, in the how to deal with an active shooter was how people will turn to their managers.
Right.
Uh-huh.
They mentioned that a few times throughout this, whatever, 14-page PDF.
Just some guy with a name. Some guy named Eric. Some guy named Eric with a name tag.
Yeah,
on
CDS.
Who's wearing like a Kohl's shirt and like.
He's got nunchucks in his car. Yeah. We have to find a way to get to my car.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right though, Scott. And that's like a little life hack for the listeners. In an active shooter situation, you can just announce, "I am a police officer," and people will follow your commands.
Oh, absolutely.
One thing that I was thinking is maybe carrying around a can of tomatoes with me. I don't know how effective that is, but like if you can throw it and hit the person's head,
I thought you were going to take out the tomatoes and kind of boo the man.
Oh.
You know? Like at the unoriginal, you know, just like kind of critique exactly why it isn't very good.
It's like you got tomatoes on my shirt.
Yeah, if you're
Fozzie Bear.
If you're a skilled roast comic, you can destroy the shooter's ego.
Yeah. Before he destroys mass shooter. Hey man, what you doing over here?
They're gonna
you're gonna shoot 7 people in the back, huh?
They're gonna hire Steve Hofstetter to go to the schools and
destroy the mass shooter.
Yeah.
Steve Hofstetter destroys mass shooter.
They're just gonna fly into different elementary schools on a random schedule. You'll never know when he'll be there.
Just roast the guy. Yeah. One man dared to say.
Is that your girlfriend with you? Oh, that's right. You don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Ooh, roasted.
Take that, you fucking piece of shit.
Steve.
No, I don't know.
If we're going to roast anybody, it's going to be Steve over even an active shooter, honestly.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe if you hit somebody with a can of tomatoes, I don't know. Yeah. Would that, like, I'm like, that would either hurt them or that might just, like, make them mad.
Yeah, that's so the DHS pamphlet and most mass shooter trainings will tell you run, hide, fight in that order.
Right.
Like, so
that's what the YouTube video I watched said, yeah.
Run if you can.
Yeah.
Hide if you can't run.
But didn't Jimmy Hoffa say you charge a gun, you run away from a knife?
Oh.
Are we listening to Jimmy Hoffa now?
Well, in The Irishman, that's what he said. He said you charge a gun, you run from a knife.
I wonder how that ended for him.
Yeah, not great. I guess you can't really charge an AR-15, though.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That is the issue. Now here's what's weird. Maybe you guys can answer this, because it did take so long for the cops, obviously, and that's a major problem. But the fact that he was in the room with kids that were able to call the cops and they were hiding, what the fuck was he doing?
That's like
no
the
one
weirdest,
has said that part,
that's
right?
That's the weird part for me, yeah. It's like,
what is he doing in that room where he hasn't searched top to bottom? Like, so his goal wasn't to search top to bottom and kill people? So, like, I don't understand. I just don't. None of it makes sense. And the fact that it's not being explained is, obviously, there's a reason. I think it's like the cops trying to cover up a lot of their own shit.
Yeah.
But there is another story to be told in there somewhere. About there's no commentary on what he was doing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the one time the cop said, you know, if anyone's in there and needs help, you know, scream, and then apparently a girl did, and then the guy shot her.
Yeah,
we should just back up for a second because people might be listening to this like months or years in the future.
We're talking about
the Uvalde shooting in Texas, where, you know, 19 kids, 2 teachers just got killed. This shooting was on May 24th. We're recording this about a week later, May 31st. And what's weird is, like, the details of everything that's happened have been constantly changing, mm-hmm. or like what we're told by the police and the authorities have happened. They've been changing for a week straight to the point where, like, today, again, 7 days later, they just changed the story again, yeah. where originally they say this shooter got into the school because a teacher left the back door propped open, school door.
A few minutes before, apparently,
right.
too.
Yeah, like, school doors are now all supposed to be locked because of Columbine. So right. they said a teacher left it propped open. Now, just today, they're saying, actually, no, the teacher closed the door, but it wasn't locked for some reason. And then that begs the question, well, how'd the shooter know that door wasn't locked, you know?
Well, I heard he crashed into a ditch, got out, was walking towards the school and shooting at the school.
Right.
Yeah. And so I guess, you know, as you're shooting at the school, he's probably also just pushing every door as he's maybe circling it or getting around it, you know?
Yeah.
Right, and that's another weird thing. Is like,
yeah, it's not Jack Reacher doing like carrying this out.
Yeah, no, you know? I'm surprised. Usually, when you crash a car, you're like, it hurts a little in reality. You know, I'm surprised he wasn't just holding his balls.
Yeah.
Until the cops got there. But then that's the other thing is that there was a cop at the school or on the property, and they claim at first that he approached this guy, but then he actually approached a teacher who he thought was the shooter uh-huh. outside of the school or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. See, like, and okay, so initially they said he crashes the car and then he immediately enters the school. Then they said that he crashes the car and then he's outside the school, like, shooting, like, at an old folks' home or something for, like, funeral home for, like, 12 minutes. They said he spent 12 minutes outside. Now they're going back to the original. They're saying he crashed the car and immediately entered the school.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's, like, that. There's the same day that it happened, Uvalde police announced, you can read it in newspapers from the day, they announced that they had a suspect in custody. Now they're saying never a suspect. And, like, how do you make that mistake? It's so fucking bizarre.
Well, is that just also, you know, reporters kind of listening into police radio, getting secondhand news, and just trying to release as much as possible? Because it does seem to happen with everything that happens. There's always, like, these loose ends and a few lies, almost always. It's like, the cops are going to fuck up at least three times in every situation they're in.
Yeah.
And so it's like when a person gets caught cheating and they come up with an elaborate lie thinking
it's
better than the cheating lie. And then I would have forgiven you more for the thing you actually did than this weird thing you just said.
I didn't take her to the ground round.
It feels like the cops lying, thinking
like they just
people weren't going to go
really
like, oh, no, that's stupid. They were like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think the truth is actually less fucked up than whatever lies they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I think probably the least fucked up truth is that the cops shot and killed either a teacher or one of those kids. Like, I have much more fucked up theories in my head as to why they're lying about this, but this is really unprecedented.
And please subscribe to the Patreon for the theories theories in Sean's head. We cannot share those on regular platforms. We'll get banned from Spotify.
That's right.
If we share the theories in Sean's head.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like we were saying, there's like this, originally they said there was a shootout with the school enforcement officer. Now they're saying he didn't exist. He wasn't even at the school. So there's just like all these different aspects. But, you know, it's like, yeah, there's fog of war. But again, we're 7 days from the shooting and they're still changing the story. That's totally unprecedented. It's very unreal. And another thing that just happened today is the Uvalde Police Department and the Uvalde School District Police Department just said they stopped cooperating with the Texas state investigation.
Because
the state of Texas is doing an investigation. Maybe the feds will do one as well. But it's like, we just don't really...
They better, right?
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
But we just, like, all these details we're kind of, like, giving and going through, they keep changing, so we don't know if, like, even by the time we release this, this shit will change again.
Yeah. It's just so heartbreaking, too. Like, there's little details that you pick up, you know, like whatever you're... with whatever you're reading or whatever, and, like, I was watching one video, and there was a still from the school, and there were a bunch of kids, like, running away, and there was a kid, like, wearing, like, a button-down shirt and, like, a tie. Like, this kid, like, wore a tie to elementary school. He's running away. And it's like a funny thing. Like, that could be something you would tell people like 10 years from now. Like, oh, yeah, here's me when I wore a tie to school, like elementary school. I was trying to like figure out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And this poor kid's like running for his life.
Dude, the interviews I've seen with children, the way, and I haven't seen any of their faces in the interviews, which is good, actually. But the way they explain it is so matter of fact. It's just, yeah, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And this is how it happened. It's, yeah, man, that is. And now, did you see the wife? Okay, so the one teacher, her husband had a heart attack like 2 days. It's just,
yeah,
the saddest shit. The fact that parents were trying to go in the school and some of them were pepper sprayed. It's like this added...
Pepper sprayed and like screamed at in the way that cops scream at you.
Well, you know what it is? And this is confusing to me because... So the idea was that they can either deal with it like it's an active shooter, which is, okay, get in there and take them out. Or they deal with it
barricaded,
like it's...
Barricaded suspect.
Yeah, like a barricaded suspect. And he did lock the doors and he was in a room. Now, as a cop, do you go, wait, let's not barge in there because he might kill all these kids in there?
I think so, but my
problem is, yeah, it's like they waited it out, and they're not telling us that there was any communication between them and him. It's matter of fact, it's the opposite. It's kids calling, and like they're not getting a fuck. They're not getting any information. So it's like, did they all sit there and go like, well, let's wait it out and just actually wait without getting anything done?
Somebody,
like, did they hang out and just wait?
I mean, I guess somebody made the call that it was a barricaded suspect. But the problem with that is, like, aren't there gunshots happening while he's, like, still shooting?
But that's the other thing is that most of the shots happened pretty immediately once he got into the school.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure. But you can still hear gunshots throughout. Like,
yes,
the kids.
Right.
So, like, the shooting starts.
It's not a barricaded suspect if you hear fucking gunshots.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think these fucking pigs are lying.
Yeah.
And I don't say pigs to mean all police officers, just these specific ones.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, yeah, the shooting starts 11:30.
No, Scott's dad went to heaven for sure.
My dad's in heaven. He is.
Yeah, but so the shooting starts 11:30, and now they're saying, like, three officers were, like, within 2 minutes in the school, and the entire... All active shooter training for police departments since Columbine has been active shooter. Your job as a police officer is to engage them, with the entire idea being, like, you don't wait for backup. You start shooting at them because if they return fire at you, they're shooting at the cops instead of killing unarmed civilians. So it's like they totally ignored this procedure.
Well, it's very obvious what happened because... They got into the school, 2 minutes after he got into the school, and two of them were grazed with bullets, right?
They say.
So it's very, they say. So what happened, it seems, is, you know, they got hit, and they were like, fuck this, let's get out of here. Which, you know, that
begs the
question.
You're on your own, kids.
Yeah, you know, it is that thing where it's like, buddy, if you're not going, that's the job, sorry.
Yeah.
People really do not know what the job is.
Well, I was flying back from Michigan this week, and, like, I was going to be on the plane. I didn't have headphones. I just picked up, like, a men's health magazine.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it. They did an article on that guy, Scott Peterson, who was the resource officer at fucking the Florida shooting.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
Parkland.
I don't know why. I think I'm dying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the guy who, like, he's on video. He's hiding behind the pole as the shooting's happening, and he's, like, he's got his gun drawn, and he's not, like, doing anything.
Yeah.
And Trump was, like, very, very bad. You know, everybody kind of, like, I mean, he was kind of the guy that everybody threw under the bus. It is funny to be like, oh, I'm not the Scott Peterson who killed my wife. I'm not the guy who cut my pregnant wife's head off. I'm the Scott Peterson who... didn't save a bunch of kids as they were being shot to death.
I think I'd be like, no, I murdered my wife.
Yeah.
That's what I would say if I was out in public. They're like, wait, are you the Scott Peterson that murdered his wife? Yes.
No, she was a bitch.
Yeah, I'm that one.
No, she chewed really weird, you know? Like, she was always putting cardboard in the bottle recycling. It just drove me nuts. I don't know. These magazines love to write these, like, puff pieces on these. Because I remember, a GQ article a few years ago, they wrote an article about that guy Justin Volpe who put the plunger, the broom handle up that guy's ass.
Oh, that was in the early 90s, right?
In, like, the late, yeah, I think,
in
like,
jail
late
or
90s.
Something?
Yeah. He, like, arrested the guy. So they wrote a whole piece about him because he got, like, 17 years or something in prison. But the tagline of the article was like, people think he's a coward, but he can explain. And it's this whole article about, like, you know, where he lives and everything, and, like, you know, and it was this weird sort of, like, puff piece. And my only takeaway from it was he said that, like, he was worried there was a sniper. So which is funny to hear that, like, yeah, I guess a team of snipers went into the school. and but then after they did an investigation, they were like, well, if there was a sniper, you weren't really safe, like standing in front of a pole, you're exposed. So I don't know. I guess it's like it's hard to imagine that cops can fuck up this bad, but they do.
Yeah, he's going to trial, and I think what's going on with like this, you know, week of like different stories is the Uvalde PD and such. They're having like a back and forth over who's actually going to be the fall guy for this, you know, who's going to take the blame. But just one other thing about that story I want to say is like, okay, so now we're told, all right, so like three officers or two immediately confronted him. They like backed off. But then there's seven officers. Shooting starts at 11:30. But then by 12 noon, within half an hour, there's 19 officers in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then at that point, they go, hey, this is like barbecue numbers, right? Maybe right. We do a barbecue outside.
Right, there's like 19.
You guys want to order pizza?
Yeah, they realize there's 19 of them, and they could just like have a vibe and hang out, you know?
Let's start a softball league.
They can show each other TikToks on their phone.
Yeah. It's like
share nudes of women, you know, that have said, please don't show this to anybody.
Yeah.
They all show, hey, look what she said, and now I'm showing you.
They were like, hey, if you don't arrest my brother, I'll show
you
my tits.
You know how they go like 80% of cops hit their wives or so? I don't know what the 40. Actual stat is. 40,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think it's 99% show nudes, every nude they've ever got to every other cop they know. Even if they just meet a different cop at a bar.
Uh-huh.
They go, you're a cop? Oh, my God, you got to see these nudes these women sent me that said, please don't.
Yeah. What do you do? You work for TSA?
That's like a respectable working class thing, though. Like, I met a dude who, like, worked construction once, or he was, like, working on a roof out in Jersey, and we were coming back together, and he just, like, I met him, like, 20 minutes ago, and he's like, yo, check out these nudes my girlfriend sent me. I was like, cool, man.
I don't know.
And there is something.
I guess I'm not working class enough, because you will never see my wife's face.
Yeah.
If there's a down on their luck, man, I guess I get some people doing it, but I wouldn't. I would never, you know.
What, doing a mass shooting?
No. Show like, I could see someone having nudes of someone.
Oh.
And then there's a guy who's sad, and you go, hey, man, look. And
somebody should have maybe shown
this. That's what
you
should do to the homeless. You just show them pictures of boobs and then walk away.
That's a good idea, yeah.
You it's go, like, no, sorry. But I do have this.
I don't have any cash on me, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
Can you buy, cash, me, a, but look can you buy me a burrito?
Yeah, so I don't have cash, but would you like revenge porn? It's like this tape of me and my ex-girlfriend.
Check this out. Those are 2013 titties right there, my friend.
That guy was funny, though. He was like, he was working on a roof out in New Jersey, and he told me, like, yeah, one of my coworkers, a roof collapsed and he died. Hey, are you looking for a job in roofing?
That's like, I think, in like old people's homes, you know?
Yeah.
If there's a nurse or an aide who, like, you know, would show their breast to the women, or like, even like the guys would. I know when you go a guy out doing it to like an older lady, that's like disrespectful, but like, there's got to be old people who want to like, come, you know, like, why is that not part of the getting people comfortable in a nursing home, you know, like to ban that stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. I guess they don't, right? They all fuck like crazy in nursing homes. That's the problem with nursing homes.
I think so, yeah.
Is they spread venereal diseases everywhere.
Yeah.
Maniacs.
Do you think we'll be in a nursing home? Because I was watching Sopranos, and like Paulie brings his mother to Green Grove, and there's a bunch of old people standing around a piano, and they're like, call me irresponsible. But do you think when we're in a nursing home, we'll be like, go shorty, it's your birthday.
Chill out, what you yelling for?
Yeah. I like the way you do that right there, right there.
Soldier boy up in this hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will be for sure.
All right.
Yeah. But, only other thing about Uvalde is just like, so like the timeline, shooting starts 11:30 a.m. There's like 19 cops there by noon within half an hour. And then they take a long time to say when the suspect was actually killed. Now they're saying 12:50. So like 50 minutes. Like 78 minutes total, but 50 minutes after there were already 19 officers there.
But the funniest part, too, is like whoever went in got the keys from a janitor.
Yeah, that's what
like,
they're saying. Yeah.
Like a janitor was like standing around, I guess.
That's the other thing. So the way I read it everywhere, it's like they were waiting for a janitor to find the keys or something. You know, the fact that it was like, we got a. They're acting like once we got the keys, we opened the door. And so it's like, well, when the fuck did you get the keys? It seems like they got the keys and then still didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Because how would you just not get the keys almost immediately? Because they knew which room he was in immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids were like calling 911 for like an hour or just under and saying we're in which room?
Which room, 111, 112.
Yeah.
But then, so are those kids, when those kids are calling, because that doesn't really make sense. When those kids are calling 911, are they in the room with the shooter?
Yeah, well, there's two rooms
and what's connected
with
by a bathroom.
So I don't know if, they're in the other room or if they're in, you ever been in like a science room in schools and they're kind of elaborate?
Yeah.
I don't know if they're hiding in a cubby area that somehow they feel comfortable calling the cops, you know?
Right, right.
But the people who called the cops were not killed.
Right, right.
They do know that.
Yeah.
The kids who called the cops.
The kid who called 911 17 times and said, please send the cops. We're in room 111. And the cops were scrolling through Instagram.
It's not even a debate.
Twerking videos.
Just, again, they haven't given us any real answers, but it's did the cops know that these kids were calling? Like, was there communication from the precinct about kids calling?
But didn't I send you guys something where it's like there was? I thought I sent something to the group chat where it's like there was video 911 relayed info from kids during Uvalde shooting.
Right. Yeah, and see, that's the fucked up thing. Because, like, again, there's, like, seven different stories of who actually killed this guy and how and, you know, what the orders were and whether or not it was, like, disobeying. But basically, the scene, as far as we know, was controlled by Uvalde School District PD, which is, like, a small police department that is
Which is weird.
Yeah. Because, like, what happens is by 12...
It's, like, six people on that police force.
Yeah. And, like, by 12 noon, where there's already the 19 officers in the school, BORTAC, which is the Border Patrol's, like, SWAT team, basically. They're a federal police department. They're, like, you know, they have all the Kevlar and everything. You can't say they didn't have the equipment. They were ready to go in. Mm-hmm. So between noon and 12:10, BORTAC is on the scene, according to the New York Times. And they say, BORTAC says, that the Uvalde School District PD would not allow them in.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so weird. Like, if it's cowardice, like, okay, so why are they controlling the scene? Why aren't they letting these SWAT guys go in?
Yeah.
And
the guy who's the chief of the police department, the school police department, he kind of looks like Baby Cakes a little bit, that animated show. He's just, like, this fat, like, bald guy. And it's just, like, I don't know, it's kind of funny to imagine him being like, no, I think we're okay. I think we're going to just... let's just hang out.
And now there's some reports of some people actually hopping the fence, right? Like a mother hopping the fence and getting her kids out. But most kids, they knew the school was evacuated besides that room.
Yeah. And I've seen things that mother hopping the fence story might just be total bullshit. Because there's weird elements of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, regardless.
It's like in Ukraine when they said there was that flyer who was shooting down all the... Russian, you know,
yeah,
kind
the
of like
ghost of Kiev.
Sean's like a mother who loves her kids.
Yeah, he's like, I call bullshit.
I call bullshit on that
a
one.
A woman with upper body strength? No way.
Yeah.
It was like somebody on Twitter pointed out, like, she would have had to, like, drove 100 miles or some crazy amount
right.
like to get there.
Oh, yeah, when she drove 40 miles or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, something like that.
Well,
but
that's
anyway.
78 minutes, 40 miles an hour.
It's not impossible.
That's an hour to get there, and then you got, I can't do math, but what, a little over 15 minutes? You got 18 minutes to hop a fence and get your kids.
I guess the thing, too, is, like, you can't deny what you're seeing with your own eyes on video, which is, like, cops in tactical uniforms and big rifles, like, not doing anything.
Well, again, but if they're communicating with the person, I would understand. If they're like, oh, he's holding these kids hostage, which you kind of think that. What the fuck? He locked the doors, and there's living kids there, and he's in the room not killing them. Mm-hmm. So they're like hostages. Mm-hmm. But there doesn't seem to be any communication other than, you know, kids are calling, and you hear random gunshots throughout.
Right.
So why not charge? They didn't want to get shot.
Waiting
that's
on their...
What it,
and then
that's
the thing
what
is,
it
seems
like
once finally a guy did show up, which he wasn't one of the cops at all, right?
He was another school shooter.
Yeah. That guy, it seems, shot him pretty immediately. Like, he got there and kind of just opened the door and killed the kid.
But that's what I was saying, Scott, is there's, like, three different stories where, one, it's, like, this lone Border Patrol agent who was off duty, just, like, ignores all orders and goes and kills the guy. Then the other story is that Border Tactical, ignores the orders and they go in and kill him. And then the other story is that, like, four officers get the key and they stack up and they go kill the guy.
Yeah.
Like, for Uvalde PD. So we have no idea who shot the guy or, like...
They should let America vote on their favorite. Version.
Thank God that Border Patrol has a SWAT team, am I right? It's like one thing we're kind of like...
Yeah. If there's like anybody who needs Kevlar and, you know, fucking automatics, it's people facing off against 110-pound emaciated Mexicans.
Raiding fucking Chevy Astrovans.
coming out of the fucking Arizona desert.
Raiding fucking vans with wood paneling on them.
just nothing more scary than somebody who hasn't drank water in 4 fucking days.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I will also say this. So during COVID and I was doing deliveries all the time, I would deliver payroll to schools. And they don't fuck around. It's really hard to get into a school. Like, yeah. To do deliveries, it is so annoying to find out that day that you have to go to a school because you know they're going to waste a chunk of your time just like questioning
signing
you on why the fuck
stuff,
you're
yeah.
getting in. It's like, I yeah. mean, it's like getting into Oz. They do not fuck around.
Yeah.
The women, you know, it is mostly women, I mean, at least at the schools that I was delivering to, when they do get to the door, they're like, you know, their chests are kind of puffed out. Like, they're ready to go. They do not trust some white guy walking up to the door.
Sure, yeah.
So that's also, I don't want to say unfortunate, but it is, like, schools are pretty fucking safe in terms of, like, I'm telling
there's
you,
just
these
some Islamic
teachers
terrorist
are not,
that goes in after
I,
Scott.
What I mean to say is, like, you know, a lot of these teachers, of course, they're scared, and there's a...
Yeah.
There are also these teachers out there that are ready to fucking go. It's just like, yeah. you know, this is a situation where, you know, he got through a certain door, but... You know, a lot of schools, they are locked. You do have to fucking buzz, and they are watching you, and they are ready. Like, I hate that some people, morons, like, they'll attack teachers in this scenario of, like,
well, what
could the school have done? It's, like, been a prison for the kids? What else could they have done? They got...
That's
they,
what my mom
did
said.
What
she
they
was
could
like,
fucking do.
My mom was like, can you imagine that teacher who propped the door open? She must feel really bad. And it's like, it's just a weird impulse to
yeah,
go
and,
right
and,
for
and,
that.
And look,
right.
that teacher does feel bad, but the truth
but that
is
story
she
doesn't
shouldn't
exist.
Have to feel bad. Yeah, and also, yeah it's, you know, it's
that didn't happen.
The yeah.
He closed the door.
It's very just... literally blame a teacher. And when you hear it, because it
that
was
teacher
just...
was checking to see if her welfare payment cleared on her phone.
The way...
See if her food stamps are on their way.
The way that whatever he was the I don't know who that guy was that was making the speech saying that the teacher left the door open.
Yeah.
How often he went back to it trying it was very obvious we're blaming this teacher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh wow, fuck that teacher. Imagine that. That must be rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very clearly not the scenario. But yeah, man, teachers are like they're just ready to go. In my experience, teachers are ready to fuck me up every time I see them.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, try to come through the front door next time, pussies. These teachers will fucking hurricanrana you, dude.
You think if you dressed your, like, middle school or high school child like a nerd who doesn't get pussy, they'd be safe from a school shooting? Because they're probably targeting the jocks, right?
I wonder. Yeah. That's. I mean, at this point, dude, they're... I mean, this one, it's...
Daddy, I don't want to wear this Dragon Ball Z t-shirt. No. It's... Trust me. It's for your own good.
Is this true or was this a joke that I saw the Buffalo shooter had a bunch of My Little Pony shit in his room?
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying, yeah. I don't... Yeah, I saw that image, too. I don't know if it's real,
it's
but
yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to blame My Little Pony. But I sent you guys that other article. Who's that senator from Texas, Ron Cornyn or whatever, and he was like... Now, it's like we all the way that they treat you in this country is so fucking like disrespectful. Like we all saw cops in like with Kevlar and like rifles standing outside the school yelling at parents. Some of them, we know that some of them like tasers and pepper sprayed a guy. And then this fucking guy is going like, let's not rush to judgment. Let's not make this a witch hunt against law enforcement. It's like you can't even they can't even let you. Be mad at the fucking shitty coward fucking cops.
Yeah, it's also irritating because you do want to, and there is a huge focus on guns and gun control and stuff, but the being angry at this police department, which we should be, it is kind of taking away from the gun, where it does feel like, oh shit, is the whole country getting mad at cops again?
Uh-huh.
When the bigger issue is the guns? I don't know, that one's tough.
Yeah. It is funny that you can trace a lot of bad stuff back to cops, though.
Oh, of course. But it's, again, that's the scenario, you know? Like, they're in the most high-pressure situations. That is the truth. Is it the most dangerous job? No, right? Like, taxi driver is. That's like, you're more likely to get shot as a taxi driver or some shit.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, a cop might be assaulted by an irate parent mad that their child is being killed in the elementary school.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very dangerous.
You can get PTSD from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do. We should just give a little bit of an overview of this DHS pamphlet because some people might listen. Some people might be in an active shooter situation right now.
There's a chance
be like, could you get to the fucking how do we deal with this?
What do we have, like 300 listeners? I mean, there's a good chance that...
Sean, you did active school training at work.
Yeah. I worked for the U.S. Post Office, and because, you know, there were so many, like, people going postal, they show you, like, a psychotic video that's like a reenactment of a mass shooting. Mm-hmm. Where somebody goes in the facility through, like, the back way and starts shooting a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And they give you, like...
That was Steve Guttenberg's first movie.
But they give you, like, an overview. And it's, like, the same thing in this DHS pamphlet. If anybody wants to look at it, it's active shooter.
Melissa McCarthy's in it. She just, like, plays a corpse.
She incapacitates the guy by sitting on him.
Yeah, all right.
Why not?
Women, offer the pussy.
Hi, I'm Steve Harvey.
It is so hard to not offer, like, sexual favors, right? If you're in a situation like that.
Yeah.
What?
Did you see there was
like, especially if I'm a woman and there's a guy, I think I would immediately be like, anything else but murder me. And then as a guy, I would also, I mean, if I'm a woman, I'm immediately saying it. If I'm a guy, it's like just a little bit longer.
At Scott's
I'm assessing
desk,
the situation.
A case,
and I'm
it
like,
says, in case of mercy, break glass, and it's a wig and some
just
high
my
heels.
Yeah. My butthole in a glass case.
It's just it's Nair for your asshole.
Yeah, it's like he's got a little like lube jar to make it wet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would just actually, you know, absolutely. The noises, the panic noises. Mm-hmm. It's like that Chappelle bit where he talks about, it's an old bit from
the
90s.
Oh, yeah, when you
called. Yeah, the idea that they would release a 911 call of you being shot or something because your real reaction would you just be crying, you know, would be acting, such a bitch.
But yeah, so this DHS pamphlet, and it's about the same that I got from the Postal Service. Actually, though, did you guys see that Reddit post that somebody made that was like, yeah, so do women get wet in mass shooting scenarios? Because it's like, you know, like technically,
it's an alpha.
Right, exactly. Like technically in a mass shooting, the shooter is the most alpha.
That is one of the strangest questions ever.
He's just asking questions.
I think I'd piss. I think that's the real question. It's like, how much piss is happening in an active shooting? A lot.
Yeah.
A lot of piss, right?
Yeah.
They don't talk about that enough. How many pants? I think all the pants are ruined, right, at a shooting? You go, okay, 14 people were killed, but then all of the pants
right. There
in
should
the
be GoFundMe, because there's GoFundMe to pay for the funerals, but there's never a GoFundMe to buy somebody new pants.
Yeah. Imagine, like, you're in a shooting, right? You have a kind of dad that's a hard ass on you, you know? You're in an active shooting, and then you finally, like, get out, and you're lucky enough to survive. And then, like, you hug your mom, and then you hug your dad, like, and it's the first time your dad ever hugged you, and then he's like... Did you shit your pants? And then he makes fun of you for shitting your pants at the shooting.
That's what they don't tell
you. Suck, right?
Behind all these shootings, it's big laundry.
I'll fuck my dad up if he makes fun of me.
Oh, dude, I'd swing on my dad if he made fun of me for being, you know, for being upset about the shoot. I remember I was in a play, like a summer play in grade school, and at the end of the play in August, I came home and I was crying, and my dad just flipped out on the idea that I'd be upset.
What was the play? Charlotte's Web.
No, I really got to think on this. Bye Bye Birdie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Why were you crying? Because the play was over.
I loved it. I loved being there and being a part of something, you know?
Yeah, it is emotional when you're in a musical and
it ends and you're like, will I ever see? Also like fall in love, you know?
You fall
in love with the girl with a good voice, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you feel talented for...
greatest.
I did, right? I felt special. You feel special.
Yeah.
And you have funny moments with kids, and then it ends.
And
you just sob like a little bitch.
My son should be doing Rough Rides in New Jersey, not in a fucking musical.
Yeah, and you can't listen to sad songs.
Because in middle school, I was such like a fat, like awkward kid, but I was like kind of funny.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So plays where you're like...
That was my shit,
it was a way to express yourself. Right? Yeah. Where to go, wow, that Michael, he's such a ham.
Yeah. Do you feel free now that your father's dead? You feel free from his tyranny?
No, I mean, because I never felt... He never gave a shit about my, you know?
Yeah.
I was never a problem.
Yeah. Do you think he would have rushed into the
classroom? No, my dad was a legit badass. Like, I I've seen him react in situations like where he always lunged towards the problem.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to everybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad killed like 10 people and two of them had guns.
Yeah, my dad is like a legit, in terms of, you know, knowing people where you go, oh, who would react, who wouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, my dad is like was a badass dude, I think. And I think I know maybe one other guy who I go, oh, wow, that's a guy who would fuck shit up.
Yeah.
Just instinctively.
Yeah. It feels like, I don't know.
My dad was like brainwashed. I mean, he's like, you know, my dad was like, he had like soldier brain, you know, like he thought it was the only way.
Is it safe to say, like were cops always like such such pussies like they are today?
No, not all of them. But I mean, again, like, you know, having a father who dealt with a lot of cops, like, he didn't like certain cops because they were pussies, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of, like, absolute cowards doing this shit, yeah.
Sure.
You see them, dude, they're awkward as fuck, you know? Like, there's, like, a tism to them, you know? Like, they're not all there, some cops. They're very rat-like, almost.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into that pamphlet. Before we run out of time, let's just spend 5 minutes giving an actual lesson. If you're listening, if you're in a mass shooting situation, we'll put the timestamp.
The final 5 minutes, you get the lesson.
The timestamp, 55 minutes or so. You skip to here. If you're in a mass shooting, this is what you're supposed to do.
All right. So, because here's what I saw in that video. Yeah. The guy was like, because I was watching this video, there's a Navy SEAL they're interviewing. He's like, it's run, hide, fight. So, like, hopefully you can run. If not, you should hide. And then if you have to fight, if you have to rush the guy and fight the shooter, you do that.
Yeah.
But one thing that's, yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah, it's basically that. In that order, run, hide, fight. It's listed from the most to least desirable option. And as soon as you hear gunshots, you should immediately determine which one to follow.
That was one thing he said, too, because he was like, gunshots that happen inside are very deceiving from gunshots that happen outside. So, like, if you're inside, the gunshot is, like, ricocheting off the thing. So you might think that a gunshot is coming from the right, but it's actually coming from the left.
Oh, shit.
So it's like sometimes people end up, like, running.
And that's when you realize
running towards
too much
the shooter,
to ask
right?
People.
That's
that's the main thing that I got out of this too. Where number one was just be ready at all times. I'm not fucking built like that. Like,
I'm trying to get bananas.
The idea of
I'm trying to get
down
a birthday
street,
cake for my kids.
And walking down the street and someone just tries to fight you, I go, oh, I think I'd lose because I can't muster up fight quickly. It has to be something that
I'm not looking for. I'm not like looking for trouble.
And these people, and I've seen it, you know, like fight videos where a guy's walking down the street, someone swings on him, and then he's just able to fight and kick his ass. That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Most people are just can't even
just
comprehend it for the first 30 seconds.
It's just a different life.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens in active, you know, it's active shooter situations. It's like try to find a way to realize that you are in shock and you got to snap out of it and move, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, that is true. Fucking run.
Yeah.
Run.
Yeah. Another thing you can do in an active shooter situation is you could identify
yourself. Find an elderly person and get in front of them.
Yeah. Trip others, you know. Yeah. Trip people, throw things behind you.
You can actually use Velcro to secure toddlers to your body to absorb bullets.
Yeah. I carry a bag of marbles with me at all times. I assume I'll throw the marbles down. He'll slip.
It's a bummer that elderly people die, but maybe it's like,
yeah.
If I was 87, I think that's how I'd want to go.
Hmm. Yeah, you should also if
unfortunately less painful than like death, you know, like the laying there of like, you know,
if you see the shooter,
then, like breaking your hip and just.
Well, I always go like I rather explode than everything, you know, like I don't want to jump off a building and splatter explode.
Yeah,
I want to like hold a thing that explodes me. That's
I don't
want to
know that my
painful.
Death is coming when it comes.
Yeah. Well, because even you see like a thing get its head chopped off and, you know, a chicken runs around for whatever, a few minutes.
Yeah.
And you go, I don't want anything. I don't want any nerves. Feeling anything. I want to just explode.
Sure.
Yeah. If you see the shooter, you can identify yourself and say, stop, I am also a federal government agent. And it'd be like, oh, I'm FBI, you're DHS. All right, shit, man. Okay.
It's so funny how in Sean's head they just keep doing, they just keep killing kids over and over.
Wait,
like, we're going to get that domestic terrorism law someday.
I know we're reaching the end, but we didn't talk about this kid. Are there any details on this fucking kid?
We'll save it for the Patreon, I think, because I want to just get through this pamphlet.
Yeah.
You're a smart guy, but I just, you know, I feel like I should.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we'll talk about it on the Patreon.
Yeah.
Anyways, the DHS pamphlet, if you're in a shooting situation, as we mentioned, run, hide, fight in that order, and just like a couple highlights from it. If you are in an office, it says stay there and secure the door. If you're in a hallway, get into a room, secure the door.
And stay away from the door because they like to shoot through the door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, you want to line up furniture to barricade the door.
Also, I saw a TikTok video of a guy explaining how you can use school chairs to close most school doors. Like there's a way to lift it and kind of slide it.
Oh yeah,
into the door handle.
Because one guy that I watched, he was like, you can line up furniture to the door and hopefully go from the door to the wall, and then it'll be like a permanent barricade. But it's like, who has that much furniture in their room? We have like two pieces of furniture in this room, like this table, that dresser, and that filing cabinet wouldn't reach
the
other wall.
Books and stuff.
There's some bitch on Fox News was like, you know, they need like bulletproof blankets all over the walls, and they look aesthetic. And then they just take down the bulletproof blankets. And
dude, Ted Cruz standing in front of the school. That's when you go like, actually, you're kicked out of politics when you make a decision to go to the school the next day and kind of hope cameras swarm around you, and then you can explain what the school should do is have one door.
And that fucking idiot teacher, that woman who went out to get her phone.
And that's in the moment where
I'm
going to
personally
man,
kick her ass. He just kicks
her. These parents or the
I'm
going to
kick her in the pussy.
Uncles, how are they not fucking up these politicians who go to these places and just beg to be interviewed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One door. Okay, what if there's a fire? Oh, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Run, hide, fight. That's what our politicians should be doing, am I right? Anyways, if you're running, keep your hands visible. Leave your belongings behind.
Which, the hands visible part is for the cops. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, so the cops don't shoot you.
So when a shooter shows up and when the cops show up, it's you follow the same rules, literally, right? It's like you go back to step one, which is like
you
run
have to,
again.
You have to tie your shirt up like this. So the cops know that you're not a shooter.
Because the idea is the cops might think you're the shooter, so you really have to.
Yeah,
You
gotta get your hand blown off by it.
You gotta do a lot, pretty much.
And then
you should
zigzag. I feel like me and my wife need to do some drills. Like, I need her to zigzag in the backyards.
Like,
and
I'll throw footballs
at her, yeah.
I
feel like I could hit her if she was zigzagging. But we should, I don't know, we should both see.
Yeah, if you're running, do not attempt to help the wounded. Should not be a problem for our listeners. Lead others away from the shooter. This one's more of a suggestion. You don't actually have to do that. And then if you can't run, you hide. If escape not possible, find a hiding place out of the shooter's view. As we mentioned, you barricade and block any doors with heavy furniture.
This is tag rules. This is hide and seek rules.
Yeah, yeah, you did this.
Yeah, it's literally hide and seek rules.
Yeah. Silence your phone, any other sources of noise. Hide behind large items such as cabinets or desks.
And know the difference between cover and concealment. Cover will stop a bullet.
Yes.
Concealment will not. So like...
Yeah.
Your wife is cover.
If possible, dial 911 to alert police to shooter's location. If you cannot speak, you can leave the line open to allow the dispatcher to listen. It's only going to take them 78 minutes. So
yeah.
And then the last resort is, of course, fight. They say only do that if your life.
And if you see any transgender leftists, you call the police right away.
Only fight as last resort if your life is in imminent danger. They talk about like throwing items or improvising weapons. You know, throw some shit.
they also say put your hand. They start talking to you like it's a bear, like it's a wild animal. They say put your hands up and make like screaming noises. Right?
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking too. Like throwing something or but if you throw something, like what are the odds that what's the heaviest thing in here? Like maybe my phone, I guess. So if you throw something at a shooter, and even if it hits him like between the eyes or something. How much time do you really have to disarm? How much time did you just buy yourself?
Like half a second, basically.
I feel like someone needs to throw a can of tomatoes at my head as hard as they can.
Right. We're going
to see what it does.
We're going to have active shooter drills for the patrons.
Because when I fell off my bike, I mean, that like hurt a lot. And I like was like stunned, kind of. I didn't feel like I could like do anything besides... You know, I couldn't even, like, get up right away.
Yeah, you're just in pain.
Yeah. I guess my thing is, like, there's that playground next to my building.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if somebody... There's only 2 points of entry in there. So that's a thing that I got to think about. Like, I don't know. What would you do? What would you guys do if someone came into the playground?
In a playground situation? I'd say, the floor is lava! And then I would jump up on the, on the slide.
Yeah.
And I'd go, you're dead. Your legs are cut off. You have to be on your knees now. And then he would do that.
What if you're
I think
like,
I need like big cans of tomatoes.
Yeah.
To go.
You can't just walk around with cans of. Are you selling tomatoes? No. Like, why? You can't just have cans of tomatoes everywhere, you know?
Well, in your bag.
Yeah, like Scott was saying, the DHS pamphlet, the DHS pamphlet just says yelling or acting as aggressively as possible under fight. Mm-hmm. But like, what it doesn't
you're like,
say,
faggot, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Like, start smearing shit on your.
It face. Doesn't say what you should yell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
what the fuck?
Like, what if,
putting,
if it's
rubbing dog shit on your head?
If it's a white shooter, you could just start calling him the N word, and maybe it would like throw him off balance. Well, yeah. Buy you a second.
Like, that really hurts.
It's like, what the, what?
What? How dare you? How dare
who
you?
Who are these the shooters? I know that it's a strange question, but.
You get canceled for yelling slurs at the shooter.
Have they had heroes?
So we're just going to ignore this white man yelling the F slur and the G slur at this mass shooter?
It's like.
Y'all ain't ready to have that conversation.
He gets like a Comedy Central Presents, the shooter does.
Yeah, I get to go on Joe Rogan and then they pull it. They pull the episode because I yelled slurs at the shooter.
But yeah, you know, the good news about the fight option is like you'll know very quickly whether you succeed or not.
Right.
Like within a minute, within a second.
Yeah.
You'll know whether or not that worked.
You'll either be in heaven or you'll be back on Earth. Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
That's
well,
about it.
Good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah,
depending
run,
on where
I
you
guess,
live, hopefully,
not that,
hopefully
hide.
You're listening to the show. You're not in high school or
yeah,
elementary
you're not
school.
Running, hiding, or fighting.
Hopefully, you just keep being antisocial. Stay at the. You know,
Ben's listening to this in 20 years, and they're like doing shootings with fucking plasma rifles and ion
yeah.
cannons and shit.
Yeah,
it's like no, none of this reloading stuff is applicable.
Yeah, there's like a lightsaber attack. There's a mass beheading with a lightsaber.
They're using force powers.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, stay safe out there. Join us on the Patreon.
Yeah, yeah,
if
yeah.
You can.
We'll talk about some more paranoid shit on the Patreon.
We'll do some
Brabant killers in Belgium. I'll
paranoid
talk about
shit
them.
On the Patreon. So please join us over there. Patreon.com/AlphaSmokes, and we will see you, lovely people. Next week, thanks for sticking with us. We did have COVID, but we're back every Friday. Love you very much. See you next time. Bye-bye.